Whew. I'm going to do my best here. I'm still a little woozy. There's times, you know, when the Holy Spirit comes and, you know, when we look at Scripture and the Holy Spirit falls, it just changes everything, you know, it affects us. And God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He delights to send us His Spirit. He delights to be with us and to impact us, and it's His desire that we would enter His presence one way and leave His presence another. He wants to shift us and change us and rearrange us. And it's not because He doesn't love us, but because He wants to make us more like Him. And it's in His good grace that He moves and that His Spirit operates in our lives. And as we're humble and as we're open to His move, He actually transforms us. Amen. He transforms us in His presence. He loves to be with us. We don't want to just plow through, and sometimes I know with life it can be easy to plow through and we don't stop, you know. It's like we don't stop to listen, we don't stop to connect, and we've got other things that sometimes take more importance. But I just want to pause and just again, like we were singing, this thank you to the Lord. There's something so beautiful just about being thankful to God. Thanking Him for His Spirit, thanking Him for what He's done, and who this God is that we serve, who this is that is doing what He is doing, who breathed us into existence, who holds us together, who loves us, and who delights, He delights to be with His people. Amen. I think that scripture is so profound that said God inhabits the praises of His people. When we think about what that really means, that He inhabits, He dwells in the praises of His people. He comes and, like you would be anticipating a close friend or a family member and waiting for them, and all of a sudden you hear a knock at the door and you open the door and that person is there. That's how He comes to us. He meets with us. He is here with us. He's present with us. Right now, He, the living God, is present in this place. His Holy Spirit is here. His Spirit is among us. And it affects us. Some of us are moved to tears. Some of us are, we feel something in our body. Some of us just feel a sense of peace and calm. But isn't His presence beautiful? Isn't His presence beautiful? Oh, Lord, we just love Your presence this morning. We thank You that we don't have to hype it, or we don't have to hype it up or use smoke and mirrors and light shows and laser shows. And Your presence is enough. Oh, God, Your presence is enough. And we want to have an attitude and a heart just like when Your presence fell and all people just bowed down before You. They were humbled. Lord, we want to live our lives in a humble and open way toward You in Your presence. And we say, come. Ruach Elohim, Spirit of God. Ruach, the breath. Your breath, breathe Your ruach, breathe Your breath of life into us. Breathe Your breath of life into us today, Lord. We don't want to be dead any longer. Lord, in areas that we're dead, breathe those things to life, oh God. Breathe those things, Lord. Breathe Your breath of life, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, do what You want to do. This is Your body. This is Your church, Your congregation, Lord. And come and have Your way in our midst. Come and have Your way, Lord. We're not going to be satisfied with this business as usual, going through motions. We want to be with You. We want to encounter You in Your presence. Thank You that You love us and that You're with us. And God, even as we just look at your word. It's so wonderful that you choose to speak to us. You've given us direction. You've given us every single thing we need for life and for godliness. You are more than enough. Your word is more than enough. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Oh, man. Whew. 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 Well, let's see what happens. Let's see what happens this morning. You know, I don't know about you, but I don't want to just go through the motions. I've tried doing that plenty of times, and I want to be sensitive to what the Spirit is doing. You know, and he has, it's like, I don't know if we have some football fans, but there's something, a play called an audible. And an audible is when you're lined up for something on the line, and you see something, and like you call an audible. Basically, it's changing the play. And the quarterback sometimes will yell out, you know, Omaha, or he'll yell out, you know, blue 32 or whatever. He's calling an audible, and you see him moving around. Sometimes the Holy Spirit calls an audible in our lives. And I believe he wants us to be sensitive to that. Amen? And so come, Holy Spirit, whatever you want to do this morning, we just say come. We say we want your presence, Lord. We say come and move with your power and your grace. You are ancient and eternal and timeless and wonderful, God. So come, Holy Spirit, won't you come? And even as we read through some scriptures or do what you want to do today, would you come and lead us and speak to us? You know, interestingly enough, this morning, as you can see up here, that wasn't planned or anything, but No Limits is the name of what I was going to be talking about, and I promised to be a little bit more concise than I had planned on being. God has no limits.
Yes. Yeah, what at all?
I mean, we could probably say amen and go home. God has no limits. He has no limitations. You know, throughout the Bible, we're encountered with human frailty. It's our story. It's the human story, right? It's like God created us. He made us. He loves us. He created us to be with him in like the Garden of Eden. And because of sin and rejection and pride and all these things, we've fallen away. And we choose our own path. We basically said, you're not good enough. Your way is not good enough. And so we choose our own path. And so we know that sin entered the world, and we also know the good news of the gospel that Yeshua, Jesus, sent himself and came down to us and did for us that which we could not do, which was fulfill the law and become perfect and become blameless again in his sight. And because the Lord loved us, he sent his son, Yeshua, Jesus, for us. Through our faith in him, we come and we're raised from the dead ourselves, and we're free from the burden, the captivity of our sins. He heals us and he's with us. But human frailty is a part of our story, limitations. How many people feel limited in some way or another? I feel limited. I'm 45 years old and I'm starting to get to that place where I'm getting up in the morning and I feel like my hip is limited. I'm like, what? This is new. I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm like, why is I'm having these pains. I'm like, where did these come from? I don't remember doing anything special with my hip. You know, I get these small lower back, you know, pains. I mean, I'm just like, what in the world? Where does this stuff even come from? What is going on? I'm at that age, I suppose. I don't know. Is that a normal thing? Okay, all right. That's what I thought. Some people are like really testifying to that. Yes. Am I preaching the truth up here? Listen, we're limited. We're face to face with our limitations every day. You know, we can't just, you know, when my son's Zeke, Jess's youngest, you know, he wants to be Spider-Man. I mean, he legit, like, wants to be Spider-Man. He's like, you know what I want to be when I grow up? He wants to be a bunch of things, like, you know, an astronaut, like a car inspector. I mean, it's a new thing everywhere. He's going to have a lot of jobs, but he wants to be Spider-Man. One of the things he wants to be is Spider-Man. And there's something beautiful about that childlikeness that says, I believe that there's something somewhere where there's no limitations, where that I can actually be all I can be. And it's not serving in the army. Be all that you can be. God bless the army. But it's not in the army. It's in the presence of God. It's being connected with this God that knows no limitations. There's something beautiful that happens in this intersection of our humanness, our frailty, our weakness, and His infiniteness, His vastness, His beauty, His power, His omniscience, He's omnipresent, all-knowing, all-powerful, all-seeing, holding all things together, completely in control, and He chooses to yoke Himself. Have you seen those yokes? You know what a yoke is? You know, in the Old Testament, they talked about yoking, being yoked together. It's like those oxen that have this thing of wood that's together. There's these two oxen, and they yoke them together to plow a field. We are yoked together with God. When we come into alignment with Him, when we accept His Son, Yeshua, we become yoked with God. So our limitations become yoked together with His no limitations, His vastness. I don't know what a better word would be for no limitations, but His infiniteness. Something beautiful happens in the Rabbi Shaul, Saul. He knew something about this, you know, and throughout the New Covenant, you know, he really talks about this, and he's talking as a Jewish rabbi. He's talking in this context of knowing the scriptures, and he says something profound here in Philippians 4, verses 12 through 13. Paul he's imprisoned, right? He's been persecuted for his faith. He's been beat up, he's been imprisoned in shackles, and here's something he says in Philippians to the church in Philippi. He says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Man, you could pause right there. That would be a good Facebook post. That would be like a good Instagram, like, teaser. That would be a good kind of like, oh my gosh, tell me what this is. What do you mean you learned what it means to be content in each and every situation? That is what people want. I want to be content. What does Paul say? He said, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. He said, that's the secret. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We're yoked together. Our limitations are yoked together with His infiniteness, His limitlessness. I am weak, but You are strong. We've been singing that since we were kids. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, He is strong. This is such good news for us. That's good news because we're not confined to our own abilities. We are not confined to our own knowledge. We're not confined to our own gifts. We're not confined to any other attribute that we have. We are children of God, yoked together with Him for His glory, for His purpose. Amen.
the and
it's our minds that need to be redeemed. Amen. It's our minds that we need to remember this. Sometimes we forget this. If this is a new concept to you, you know, this is beautiful. It's so true, but it's like we're so sometimes aware of our own frailty, our own brokenness and our own fragility, our failures, our weaknesses, our I just can't do this, or I'm a this, I'm a that, I keep struggling with this, and we're so aware of that, but we're not completely aware of God's power, His vastness, His wisdom, His knowledge, His grasp of the situation. And it's just like this beautiful Psalm 23 kind of talks about, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. We talked about that a couple months ago. That's such a beautiful picture of what it looks like to be in relationship with the Lord. A sheep is so limited in its knowledge. They're stupid animals. They will literally run off a cliff. They see somebody else run. Those other sheep are like, oh, I guess we're going off the cliff now. They will literally do that. I mean, they are dumb. How many people have ever run off a cliff before? I've run off a couple cliffs in my life because I wasn't listening to the voice of the shepherd. But the good news is we are yoked together with this one, and the shepherd's presence brings such peace and stillness to the sheep's heart. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Throughout scriptures, again, we see people's limitations, people's frailties, people's screw-ups, and God's strength, His ability. Last week, we talked about Jehoshaphat. We talked about Jumpin' Joey. Jehoshaphat had some issues. He was a weak man. He messed up. He wanted to hang out with the wrong crew. King Ahab, and he went into battle, ended up poking the bear, gets attacked by a vast army, but he ends up humbling himself. He basically says, Lord, I screwed up. I need your help. Won't you come? What's God do? He comes. He moves mountains. He does the impossible. We see it in the life of David. Human frailty. He says, you know what? You can kill that giant right here. You kill that giant with this slingshot. He knew the slingshot's going to do that. He did something a little and he made it into a lot. Look at Joshua, Jericho. I don't want you to go with this vast army and this massive army. I'm going to have you tear down these walls with some shofars and yelling. Frank likes that. Frank would be there. He'd be first in line. Gideon. Your army's too big, Gideon. There's too many of you. You need to trim this down. He's like, what? We're going into battle here. You're talking about trimming down the army? Yeah, trim them down. Trim them down. You need to be even weaker. You need to embrace your limitations. Think about even the disciples, those first followers of Yeshua, the Rabbi Yeshua, fishermen and tax collectors, very limited, but yet the Lord called them. And why? It's because little things make a big difference in the kingdom. So you may feel little, you may feel small, you may feel insignificant, you may feel too old, you may feel too young, you may feel whatever, but in the hands of the Lord, you are unstoppable, you are limitless. Not because of your own strength, but because of who you're yoked to. If you are in Yeshua, you are in Jesus, you are yoked to limitless power.
Yeah.
Something so empowering about that. And again, it's not for our own sake. We get nervous. We get, well, Lord, I don't, I'm scared. I'm nervous. What if I do something wrong? Listen, when you're yoked to Yeshua, you're gathering His heart. It's just kind of like you're together with Him, like John 15 talks about. When you're abiding in Christ and He's abiding in you, you will bear much fruit. And this isn't just our own fruit. This is fruit for the kingdom of God, for the advancement of the gospel, the good news of Yeshua. To set the captives free. So what happens when we're yoked to this limitlessness of God? We start to bear the same fruit that He has in us. He puts it in us, and we bear it for Him and for His name's sake. So it's not about my ability. It's not about my disability. It's about God's ability through us. There are no limitations to the gospel of Yeshua. Again, Rabbi Paul, he was somebody who was Paul of Tarsus. You know, he came from the city that was a Roman city. City with lots of high education, the universities and things at the time when Paul was born. Man, this place was incredible. It was amazing. And they rivaled Greek universities and Roman universities. I mean, it was the place to be. And so as a Roman citizen, but he actually grew up in Jerusalem being mentored under the rabbi. Anybody remember? Gamaliel, who was this prominent rabbi who actually, you know, kind of like his grandfather helped to come create the sect of the Pharisees. And that's where you get a lot of like rabbinic traditions even today. So you're talking about somebody who is very well educated, and all of a sudden he has an experience. He has an encounter with the living God, and God knocks him off his high horse, literally blinds him, says, "You thought," and he's like, again, prophetically, the Lord loves to use the things that are natural to speak the spiritual. He said, "You thought you could see. You couldn't see. You thought what you were doing was right. What you were doing was not right. You were actually blind. But I'm going to open your eyes. I'm going to show you the truth." And as we know, he received it. He humbled himself. And that rabbi that was on this track to becoming kind of the next big thing humbles himself and becomes a follower of what was called the Way, a follower of Jesus, Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua. He comes and becomes an apostle and humbles himself. He embraced his limitations, and when he embraced his limitations, then God had the freedom to move through his life. See, as I believe through this process of us not kicking against the goads of our limitations, not saying, "Oh God, why am I this way? Why am I so weak? Why am I so this or this, that, and the other thing?" All these excuses. He says, embrace that, bring them to me, your yoke to me, and watch us move forward. God wants every single person in this room to move forward. I just want to say, you're not like placeholding your life right now until you die. God forbid that's a lie from the enemy. If you feel that way, you feel maybe I'm done, my best years are gone. With the gospel and the good news of Jesus, Yeshua, the best is always yet to come. It is always yet to come. And I don't care if you're 98 years old, the best is yet to come for you. Because the best is not something here in this world. The best is eternity, is life with him. And while we are here, while we have breath, we are yoked to his limitless power, and he has assignments. He has enjoyable things for us to partner with him in. "Oh God, this feels impossible." He says, "Don't worry about that. You're yoked to me. I will make what is impossible possible." And he loves to use little old us. I like this minister named Randy Clark, and he was part of the Vineyard Movement, and he just loves to pray for healing. He's been all over the world and seen lots of people getting healed, and I love Randy. He's a Southern kind of guy, and he speaks with this funny kind of accent, but he's just a sweet, humble man, and he just says something, a little phrase that always caught me, because here's somebody who has all these people reading different books and going to ministry school and listening to them, very kind of like prolific author. But he says, "Listen, if God can use little old me, he can use anybody." Something beautiful about God using little old me. Do we have any little old me's in this place? I feel like a little old me. Again, I'm very aware of the limitations I have. You can ask my wife. She's even more aware of my limitations. She's like, "Oh yeah, there's definitely limitations there." May Lord help me. Right? We're aware of each other's limitations. We're aware of our own limitations. But God is hyper aware. He is the most aware of your limitations. You think you know how limited you are? You have no idea. You can't even breathe without God putting that breath in your lungs. You cannot get up without Him waking you up. You can't move without Him giving you the ability to move. You can do absolutely nothing. You do not exist apart from God Himself breathing you into existence, holding your body together. He's very aware of your limitations, but He says, I'm not holding that against you. I'm not allowing that to be the thing that keeps me from you. I'm embracing that. I say, I know that you're limited, but He loves us in that place. He says, come unto me, and I will give you strength. I will give you drink that you don't even know of. This living water will start flowing from your body. Weakness is strength in the kingdom. 1 Corinthians 1:18-31. We'll wrap it up by reading this here. I had some more, but listen. This is so good. Oh, 1 Corinthians 1:18-31. Again, here's Paul. I'll get there. Paul's talking to the church in Corinth, the family of believers there, and he says in this letter, he says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. The intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is this wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom didn't know Him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than men's strength. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you influential. Not many of you of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. Why? So that no one may boast before Him. It is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, Yeshua, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. I want to give out a shout out to the worship leader this morning who chose that song, I will boast in the Lord my God. Man, he must have been hearing from the Lord. It's nice when you preach and you lead worship because you can kind of choose the songs. But Paul said, I'm going to boast in the Lord. He's like, I'm not going to boast in my own stuff. And we even know that, you know, like we're going to talk about, there's a thorn in Paul's flesh. Remember that? And he asked God, he said, God, take away that thorn in my flesh. 3 times he asked the Lord. Maybe that was a physical thorn. Maybe that was a physical ailment he was struggling with. Maybe it was a demonic oppressor. It could have been a lot of things. If anybody says they know exactly what that was, well, it's not in the Bible. I mean, the Lord could have told him that. But listen, regardless of what it was, the Lord said, my grace is sufficient enough for you. My grace is sufficient for you. What is he saying in that? He's saying, you're yoked to me, and that's enough. We are yoked together. That's enough. Your zero plus my one equals limitless. Like, your zero plus my fullness equals everything. That's good math. That's kingdom math. What do we bring to the party? Not a lot. But in his vastness, there are vastness. There is no limitations. There is nothing holding him back. And he didn't want just him to experience that. He invites us, share in this with me. Share in life with me. Share in victories with me. That's what he's saying to Gideon. That's what he's saying to Joshua. That's what he's saying to David. He's saying, share in these victories. I want to share these things with you. You're my kids. I love you. We know that he's a good father, and good fathers have good gifts, like Scripture talks about. But he being the father of lights, how much more so does he know how to give good gifts to his children? Amen? So we want to receive his goodness. We want to receive his life. And I believe, again, the more that we are aware, and we just pray, God, transform my mind, because sometimes I'm pretty aware of my weaknesses. Or maybe I'm more aware of other people's weaknesses. Maybe that's something that we struggle with. Ooh, that's true. That's me too. I can be aware of other people's weaknesses. But God wants us to see people as his favorite creation. He wants us to see people as he sees them, as potentials, as with our potential, that we are limitless potential. We have this limitless potential because of who we are to him. People are his favorite creation, and he wants to redeem us and save us and set us free and empower us to live this life that he has for us. So just as we close this morning, why don't we stand? Why don't we just thank the Lord that his grace is sufficient for us? You know, some of us know a minister named Joni Erickson Tada. Joni was diving when she was 17, and she went into the Chesapeake Bay and misjudged the distance, the depth of the water, and she actually broke her vertebrae, she was a quadriplegic from the shoulders down. And she writes about struggling through depression, struggling through all these challenges that kind of came with, all of a sudden, here's a teenager who's paralyzed from the shoulders down. But Joni pressed through. She was a believer, and she processed that with the Lord. She learned to paint by using her teeth and holding the toothbrush. And she just began to extend the kingdom of Jesus, the kingdom of Yeshua, through lots of different means. And she would write books, and she had a radio program, and then she started an organization called Joni and her friends, and they supply wheelchairs for people all over the world that can't afford them in different developing countries. And she has preached the gospel, and she's had audience with presidents. Seems like she was able to embrace her limitations and be yoked together with the limitless one, and know that because of that, that changes everything. Just want to close by reading Psalm 34 over us, and then we'll pray. David wrote this. He said, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you, his holy people. For those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot out their name from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from their troubles, all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all of his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord will rescue his servants. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. We know there's some messianic prophecy in that about Yeshua, Jesus, about his bones not being broken and him being righteous. But we know that as we are yoked together with the limitless one, we don't have limitations. We're not confined to the things of this world. We are in the spirit with the Lord. And so I just want to pray a blessing over us and over you. Lord, I just thank you so much. We thank you that this morning that you are the limitless one. The one who was, who is, and who is to come. We are aware, Lord, that on this earth, Lord, here you've placed us on, we get maybe 80, 90, 100 years, sometimes less. But we know that this is not all about this life here. We are grafted into something eternal, your kingdom. We are together with you, the limitless one. And Lord, we do embrace our limitations, and we say we know that we don't bring anything to the party except for our hearts to you to say yes. Our humble hearts to say, Lord, use me, move through me, take my life. I'm yoked to you. What do you want to do today? Help me to follow you. Help me to listen to you. Help me to obey you. Help me to know you. Help me to walk with you every single day, Lord. And I just pray that you would empower us by your Spirit to live out the life in the Spirit that you want us to live. It's for freedom's sake that you set us free. So help us to be free people in you. Lord, not bogged down with the things of this world. And we know, even like your servant Paul said and encouraged us, not to, Lord, we want to be like good soldiers who don't get caught up in civilian affairs. Help us to remember what truly matters and live according to that, Lord. By your grace, would you empower us? We thank you, Lord, that while you're aware of our weaknesses and our limitations, you don't let those things hinder us from our value to your kingdom and to what you want to do. You love us, you are for us, and you have given us everything that we need to live godly lives with you. We love and bless you, B'Shem Yeshua. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.